This morning I preach my first sermon of the year 2023. And as I preach my first sermon of this year, I would like to remind us of some very basic, simple truths. Truths from the Bible that, yes, are easy for us to understand, but yet they are so very important. They are extremely significant for us gathered together here at Nordville Baptist Church, but they're also significant and important for the whole world. I have three simple, yet profoundly significant truths that I want to share with you this morning. First of all, God loves all people. God loves all people. Okay, we'll talk about that in some detail. Not only does God love all people, but God is good to all people. Okay? The third truth is Jesus died for all people to provide salvation for all. Three very basic, simple truths, but so important, so profound, so significant. Now, I trust that today you can testify that I have been personally impacted by these truths. I hope that you can say that today. I hope you can say, yes, I have been impacted in a personal way by God's love. Yes, God's love for all, but specifically God's love for me. I hope that you can say, yes, I have been personally impacted by God's goodness. God's goodness to me personally. Yes, God is good to all. God loves all, but I've experienced that myself. And I hope that you can say, yes, I've been transformed because I have accepted the reality that Jesus died on the cross, not just for all. He did for all, die for all, but he died for me. And he rose again. And I have been saved. And I'm a new creature in Christ. I hope that you can say this morning, I have forever been changed because of these three simple yet profound truths. Now, as we think about the world at large, thinking about all of humanity has experienced God's love and God's goodness. And all of humanity has greatly benefited from God's love and God's goodness. But the sad fact is that even though all of humanity has benefited from God's love and God's goodness, not all of the world has accepted Jesus' sacrifice for them. Not all of the world have trusted in Jesus as Savior and so have eternal life. Jesus died for all, but not all have accepted Jesus as Savior. But yet there is hope, because as long as a person is able to breathe and a person is able to, with their heart, call out to the Lord for salvation, there is hope for that person, isn't there? Now, this morning, we'll spend some time meditating on these very simple yet profound truths. And now, in addition to these three truths, I want us to focus on three more. Now, as ones who have personally experienced God's love and his goodness, as ones who have been saved by Jesus because he died on the cross for us and rose again, as ones who are God's children, it is our honor and our privilege, it is our solemn responsibility to reflect God's love and reflect God's goodness. It is our honor and privilege and our responsibility to tell others the truth about Jesus and about how they too can have eternal life in him. So in addition to the three truths that I've already mentioned, I want us to focus on three additional truths that we as believers in Christ should love all people. We as believers in Christ, as the children of God, should be good to all people. And we as believers in Christ, as the children of God, we should always be ready to share our hope in Jesus and our faith in him. Again, these are very simple truths for us, no doubt. These are very familiar to us. But we know that this is what God has called us to as his children. Let's focus our attention on the first truth that I mentioned this morning. The truth that God loves all people. And of all the passages we could go to that emphasize the truth that God loves all people, What passage would you go to? Is there any passage that you'd go to in particular? And I think many of us would go to the one passage that we probably memorized long ago, John 3:16. Isn't that really the go-to verse that talks about God's love for all? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we could read verse 17 as well. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God so loved the world. Now when we speak about the world, we're not talking about this mass of rock and water called the earth. Okay, that's not what God loved. It's not the orb called the earth that God loved. God loves the people on the earth, right? God loves all humanity. A world of people that are not good, right? It's one thing if somebody loves somebody that's good, but God loved the world that it was in rebellion against him and that still is in rebellion against him. God is their creator, but yet the world chose to forsake their creator. So God loved a world full of wicked and perverse men and women, people that are indeed God's enemies. These are the ones that God loved. Now this world of wicked sinners deserves God's punishment. That's what, and keep in mind, we were born into this world as lost sinners, and that's what we deserve. So we all deserve God's punishment. Indeed, God would be perfectly just to immediately judge sinners because of their sin. But aren't you thankful for God's grace? Aren't you thankful for God's mercy? And whereas God could immediately judge sinners because of their sin, what did God do? God showed mercy and grace, and he provided a way for the forgiveness of sins. And we think about in the very beginning, when Adam sinned against the command of the Lord, and he partook of that forbidden fruit. Even after that sin, what did God do? God provided a way for them to be restored to fellowship, a way for the forgiveness of sins. And all throughout history, leading up to Jesus, God provided ways for, or the way for atonement. And of course, animal sacrifice was only a temporary measure. But as animals were sacrificed, as their blood was shed, there was provision for the covering over of sin, the provision for forgiveness of sins, but of course all looking forward to the one sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who would lay down his life for sinners such as us. And so as we consider John 3:16, for God so loved the world, God's love was demonstrated for a world of lost sinners, rebellious enemies, God's love was demonstrated in that he gave his Son for the salvation of the world. Now, John is not the only one that talks about God loving all. We could go to Titus chapter 3 and verses 4 and 5, and the Apostle Paul speaks about God's love in Jesus. We read this in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now John in John 3:16 talks about, for God so loved the world. Paul in the letter to Titus, he talks about the kindness and love of God toward mankind appearing. So what is this love of God toward mankind that appeared? Indeed, it's Jesus Christ, isn't it? But notice here, God loved men and women, and it's through Jesus Christ. So notice, God didn't just love those that were upright in character. He didn't love those who were just worthy of that love. God didn't just love those certain ones who are chosen. No, God loved all. Now, yes, God does love those who are chosen. God does love those who are living morally upright lives. But God loves all, doesn't he? God's love is not limited only to a certain segment of humanity. God loves the world. God loves men and women. fallen sinners. And it's because of God's love for all that he sent his son Jesus to be their Savior. He sent Jesus to die in their place so that if they trust in him, they may have eternal life. So we read about God's love in John 3 and in Titus chapter 3. And we realize God's love is not a conditional love. God's love is not a love that is bestowed only when certain terms are met. God's love is not a selective love. It's not a love that's shown to some but not to others. No, God's love is a universal love. God's love is an unconditional love. It is active. It is beneficial. It is sacrificial. God's love looks out for the good of those in need. God's love takes action to help, even whenever the cost is extremely, so very extremely high. This is the love that God has for the world. Would you agree with me today? God loves all people. I hope there's no doubt in your mind at all that God loves all. Now, that's not to say that God doesn't love his church, okay, because God does love his church. It's not to say that God doesn't love specific individuals, because he does love specific individuals. But God doesn't just love the church, or he doesn't just love those that he has chosen to salvation. God loves all. And there's so many other passages we could go to as well. But not only does God love all people, with none excluded, God also is good to all people, with none excluded. And really, this idea of God's love and God's goodness, they go hand in hand, don't they? But as we focus on this truth that God loves all, and we looked at that, but that God is good to all, let me read for you a few passages here. We begin in the Old Testament. And David says this in Psalm 145 in verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. There can't be any doubt in our minds from just the single verse. The Lord is good to all. Can you say it any more plainly or simply? God's goodness is not directed just towards certain members of his creation. His goodness is directed toward all of his creation. God's goodness is directed even toward those who deserve it least. Again, as I mentioned before with God's love, it doesn't mean that God isn't good in a special way to a certain one or a certain group of people. But what we're focusing on right now is God is good to all, none excluded. We come to the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus talks about God's goodness. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 down through 48. And Jesus says this, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them that which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now later on we'll return to this passage in Matthew chapter 5 as we talk about our responsibility to be good to all. And really that's the primary focus of what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 5. We need to be good to all. We need to love all. But Jesus, in emphasizing that point, talks about the Father. And how does he describe the Father's goodness? Jesus makes it quite clear that God the Father is good to all. And there are certain demonstrations of that goodness. God the Father is not just good to those who are good. God the Father is good to even the most evil of individuals. And one demonstration of God's goodness to even the most evil of all individuals is the fact that he causes his Son to rise not just upon those who are good, but the Son's rays fall upon all people, right? Even the most wicked of people. What does God also do? He causes rain to fall upon the earth, not just upon the houses of those who are very good people, but the rain falls down indiscriminately, even upon the most wicked of individuals. God's goodness is not limited to only those who are just or upright in their behavior. God isn't selective or partial in his bestowment of the blessing of the sun or the blessing of rain. So those are only two examples, but many more could be given. But God's goodness extends to all, even the most wicked and evil of people. God is good to all. Paul emphasizes this point too. He's preaching here to the people of Lystra in Acts chapter 14, and we read this in verse 17. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. See, God is good to all. And even the most wicked of people should recognize there is a God in heaven who is good to them. Of course, there are many wicked people that even deny the presence of God or the existence of God, but you know what? God is still good to those people who are atheists. God is not only good to his children, but he is good to his enemies. As we think about God's goodness and his love to all, that really is demonstrated in a most incredible way through the salvation that he offers to all. Again, we could go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Jesus came because of God's love for all. And I believe that his death is a death not just for some, but a death for all. Let me read for you a few other passages here. We read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 29, the words of John the Baptizer. And as John the Baptizer sees Jesus, what does he cry out? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Again, we have reference to the world. And I believe the world is referring to all people. Now keep in mind, as we talk about Jesus taking away the sin of the world, we realize that one has to place their trust in Jesus. We understand that to be the case. But when Jesus died, he died to provide salvation for all. Okay? His death is sufficient for all. Now later on in the Gospel of John, we read about Jesus interacting with a certain woman from Samaria. And this woman recognizes that he is the Messiah. She goes and tells the people of her town concerning Jesus, and they come to hear Jesus. And they testify that we believe now, not because of what the woman has said. We have heard Jesus ourselves. We know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So Jesus is not just the Savior of Israel or the Savior of the church. He's the Savior of the world. He's not the Savior of just some, he is the Savior of all. Again, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, referring to Jesus, he is the propitiation or the wrath-removing sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And then chapter 4 and verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. How many times in the Scriptures do we read the word whosoever? We have whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Why did God send his son Jesus? Because he loved the whole world. And he also desired Jesus to die for the sins of the whole world. And indeed he did. There's no doubt about that in my mind at all. Now, I realize there are godly Christians that would disagree with me. And there are certain Christians that would say, no, God sent Jesus with a specific purpose and Jesus died only for some and not for all. But I believe very strongly that Jesus did everything necessary to save all the world. But the sad fact is, not all the world accepted Jesus. And we know the very plain truth of the Scripture is you need to call upon the Lord for salvation. You need to trust in him for salvation. So the simple fact that Jesus died for all doesn't mean that all will be saved. I'm not preaching universalism here. Yes, Jesus died for all, but still one has to trust in Jesus. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, there's much more that I could say about this. Much more that I could say. But don't you cherish these truths? Aren't these so very precious to you? God loves all people. God is good to all people. And Jesus died for all people to provide salvation for all people. Now, in addition to these three truths, let's focus on three more truths. And these truths are applicable to us specifically as believers in Christ. We are God's children. Now, as God's children, we should be like God, right? We should be like our Father. So if our Father loves everybody, what does that mean for us? Well, then we should be loving everybody. If God is good to everybody, what does that mean for us? We as His children should be good to everybody. If Jesus died for all, and I believe He truly did, then what does that mean for us? Then we should be telling everybody about what Jesus did for them. Now, as we think about the reality and the importance for us as believers in Christ to love all, okay, we don't want to just love those who love us. Okay, that's what we could say almost easy, although it's not easy at any time really to love with God's love. But our love must not be limited only to those who love us. Okay, we must not just love those who are nice to us, or those who are within our family of circle, or our circle of family or friends. No, we need to be loving all. Now we think about the Old Testament law, the Mosaic law, and the many commands that God gave Israel. And of all those commands, there are two that we could say are the most important, or the two that sum up the entire law. And what are those two? The first one is this: love the Lord thy God with all one's heart and soul and mind. Okay, that's the first commandment. Okay, the most important. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus explains the second greatest command, and in explaining it, he tells a parable. And he tells a parable about a certain man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, or actually, from Jerusalem to Jericho, if I remember correctly, if I'm correct here. And what happens? This one falls among the thieves, and the thieves plunder his goods. They beat him. They leave him half dead on the side of the road. And along comes a certain priest, and that priest sees the poor man, and what does he do? He passes by and does nothing. Along comes a Levite, and he passes by and he does nothing either. But then comes a Samaritan, and the Samaritan comes and has compassion upon this one that was beaten and left half dead. And the Samaritan cares for the wounds of this man. He puts this man on his own donkey. He brings him to an inn and cares for him there, and then pays for his stay for some time. Then makes arrangements to pay for whatever else is necessary. The Samaritan probably had never met this man ever before. The Samaritan did not know this poor man on the side of the road that's half dead. But what does the Samaritan do? The Samaritan loves this man and cares for him. And as Jesus tells this story about the Samaritan, Jesus says to those who hear him, you need to go and do likewise. So what does God expect of his people? God expects of his people to love as he loves. To love all people, regardless of whether you know them or not, whether they're nice to you or not. Love must be shown to all. So this is what God expects of Israel, but this is what God expects of us in the church as well. Paul writes to the Thessalonian believers. We read this in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. So yes, we need to love one another. We need to love our fellow believers. Okay, should go without saying. But our love must not be limited only to fellow believers. Our love should go beyond fellow believers to everybody. Love all. Paul even desired that your love would increase and abound for all men. So if this was the case with the Thessalonians, shouldn't that be the case with us today? So we shouldn't be seeking just to love our families and our friends and our church people, We should be seeking to love everybody. Okay, all that we meet. Now, closely related to the challenge to love all is the challenge to be good to all. So God has been good to all. We as His children need to be good to all. Now, I just read not too long ago the passage in Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus begins in verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But what does Jesus say? Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you. Then He talks about how the Father is good to the just and the unjust. He loves the just and the unjust. He loves all. He's good to all. And in Matthew chapter 5, what does Jesus command His disciples? He's commanding them to love those who are their enemies, to do good to those who hate them. And in doing that, they would be even recognized as children of their Father in heaven. God loves His enemies. So shouldn't we love those who are our enemies? Now, I'm not sure, in my mind, as I think through all the people that I know, or even the people that I don't know very well, I don't know if I can say that I really have any enemies per se. But even those that may not like me the most or may not give me the time of day or whatever, you know, I mean, generally most people are quite nice to us, right? But there are some people that aren't all that nice to us. So think about those people. We need to be good to them, right? We need to show love to them. We as God's children need to love and do good to even those that treat us in the most worst way, the worst possible way, the most terrible way. So we read later on in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. This is what Jesus says. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. The Apostle Paul says this in Galatians 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Okay, Paul says, be good to all regardless. Yes, have a special concern for the fellow believers, but be good to all. Okay, this is what God expects of us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So what does God require of us today? If you're a child of God, if you have trusted in Jesus, then God's requirement is this: be like God is. And what does that mean? We need to love everybody. We need to be good to everybody. Okay? Now, how can we show love to our fellow men and women? How can we show love to all? How can we show goodness to all? How can we be good to all? We could spend quite a long time about concrete examples, ways that we can love others, ways that we can be good to others. Keep in mind, we're not just talking about being good to those who are nice to us or good to those who are in our family circle or our church family. We're talking about being good to all. So loving and being good to those who are rude to us, to those who dislike us, to those who are spiteful to us. Now, what is our normal reaction for those who are rude to us or say mean things to us? Yeah, any number of reactions, right? Maybe the natural reaction is to lash out against them like they have lashed out against us, okay? Give them what they deserve, okay? Or maybe we're more of somebody who just kind of draws back into our own shell, you know, and so we just kind of ignore them or we stay away from them. But what does God call us to do? To love those who abuse us, to be good to those who wrong us. It's not easy to do any of these things, but by God's grace, we'll be able to show God's goodness and His love to the world. Now, if we're loving those that are even terrible to us, if we're good to those who mistreat us, even to those who hate us, then how are those people going to respond? What are they going to start thinking? They're going to be thinking, what is wrong with that guy? I'm treating that guy like trash, okay? I'm doing all that I can to get on this man's nerves or on this woman's nerves, you know, and still, they're being nice to me. They're being good to me. They're loving me. And they're going to wonder, why is that? Why is that person so nice and so good and so loving? And perhaps, as you show goodness to even the worst of people, as you show love to even those who hate God, and if they hate God, they no doubt aren't going to like you either. But if you're showing love and goodness to ones like this, surely some of them are going to ask eventually, why are you different? You know, what's going on here? And then you know what? You're going to have the opportunity to share with them about Jesus. And we need to be ready for that opportunity. We need to have a ready answer. We can share the hope that we have. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Paul says this to the Colossians. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. As believers in Christ, we need to love all. We need to be good to all. And if we do those two things, by God's grace, by His empowerment, then surely we will have opportunity to share the truth about Jesus with some of those people. How important it is for us to use our mouths to share the truth about Jesus. To say with people, to tell them, it's because of Jesus, it's because of His work in my heart, it's because I've been changed by Him that I am able to be good to you or to love you, even though you may not be the nicest to me. You know, and maybe you won't say it in exactly those terms, but no matter where we're at, no matter who we're interacting with, and maybe there are some people that will be very nice to us, and yet they don't know Jesus, we'll still have opportunity to share with them the hope about Jesus and the truth about Jesus. Now, we know in our minds that as God's children, we should love all, we should be good to all, and we should share the truth with all, right? We know that that is the case. This is what God expects of us. But to know in our minds that this is what God desires, and to actually do this in our actual lives, that's quite two different things, right? So sometimes, would you agree with me, sometimes it's hard to even love those that are kind to us. It's hard to love those that are in our own family. It's hard to do good to those that are closest to us. So if it's hard to love and do good to those that are pleasant to us and kind to us and part of our circle, if sometimes, more than we may want to admit, if sometimes we're selfish and thinking about ourselves instead of our own family and friends, then how difficult is it going to be for us to show love, to be good to those that may hate us or people that we don't even know? But if God loves the worst of people, we must love the worst of people. If Jesus died for His enemies, then shouldn't we be telling the enemies of God, and even our enemies, those people that mistreat us, shouldn't we be telling them about what Jesus did for them? Today is January 1st, 2023. And I realize this is just a day on the calendar, so I could preach this message on any day of the year, and really it would be very applicable. But we're starting a new year. Okay, and sometimes during a new year, we like to have a new commitment. Will you commit with me to be very intentional about keeping in our minds and in our hearts these truths? God loves everybody. Okay, God is good to everybody. Jesus has died on the cross to provide salvation for everybody. Okay, keep that in your mind all the time. Okay, and then keep in our mind as well, I'm God's child. I need to be like my Heavenly Father. So I need to be good to everybody. I need to love everybody. I need to share the truth of Jesus with everybody. Will you commit with me to be intentional about these things? So we need to have this in our minds and in our hearts, but then we need to let what we know and believe play out in our actions. Now, it can be very hard to be good to those that we don't know, or to be good to those that we think, you know, they're not living the way they should. You know, they're not doing things properly. You know, they're you know, we could go on and on and on, right? I don't need to explain this, do I? We can come up with any number of examples, any number of instances where it'd be very easy for us to say in our minds and in our hearts, I'm not going to be good to that person. I'm not going to show love to that person. Because you see who they are? You see how they're acting? But we need to show love and goodness to all. And we need to share the truth of Jesus with all. Now, I know there's a lot of emphasis, and rightfully so, on sharing the gospel. Okay, we need to share the gospel. But you know what? If we aren't showing Christ's love and God's goodness by way of action, if we don't do that, then we aren't going to have the same opportunities to share the truth of Jesus, are we? If we, on the other hand, are not showing God's love, if we're not showing God's goodness, and then we try to share the gospel, well, what is that going to tell these people? You know, they hear one thing with their ears, but then they see another thing. They experience quite another thing. So if we talk about God's love to these people that are lost, and yet we aren't loving ourselves, if we talk about God's goodness to the lost, to everybody in Jesus, you know, if we talk about that, but then they see in our lives how we're far from good, how we're far from loving, then what is the likelihood that they want to accept that message? Now, God has made it very clear. God is good. God loves everybody. You know, Jesus has died on the cross for all. So what do we need to be? We need to be people that love all, that are good to all. We need to be always ready to share the truth of Jesus. So let's remember these truths. Let's embrace them. Let's pray to God. Let's cry out to Him. Lord, help me to understand all the more how good You are, how loving You are, how Jesus died for all. And then help me to live out before the lost world and to share with my mouth Your goodness and Your love, even as it's flowing through me. So today, next week, the following week, the rest of our lives, let's keep these truths in mind. Let's live them out. And by God's grace, may we see many people come to know Jesus. And it's not just for people that know Jesus that we live this way. We live this way because this is how God wants us to live. We want to be like our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've been encouraged and challenged by some very simple yet profound truths. We're thankful that You have loved us. You have been so good to us. But it's not just us. You've been good to all, and You've loved all. And we realize that even when You loved us and You were good to us, when we were far from deserving of that. So help us, Lord, to stand in awe of Your love and Your goodness in Jesus. And then help us to be good as You are good, and to love as You love, and help us to share the truth of Jesus. And so help us to be faithful to You. Help us to be Your children, not only in position, but in practice. So again, we thank You and we praise Your name. Give us grace today and in the days to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.